It's a new movies and music edition of The Morning Feed. I'm Rob LaFrance.
And I'm Chris Mezick.
We must negotiate peace talks.
When will the lesson be learned? You cannot reason with a tiger when your head is in its mouth!
Nonsense. The only slippery slope.
Would you stop interrupting me while I am interrupting you?
See, none of us want. We don't want. I don't want to interrupt him.
I thought it was going to keep going.
That's how moving Gary Oldman's performance is in The Darkest
Holy
Hour,
crap.
And that like we couldn't even talk. We're like, well, all right.
Damn.
But that was Gary Oldman, all prostheticed up to look like Winston Churchill in this new movie, The Darkest Hour, counting down the days before England got involved in World War II and as the Nazis were making their march across Europe. I saw it last night, and I'm just going to say, if Gary Oldman isn't, if his name isn't in the running for several awards, and also just the way the movie looked and how interesting it was, I'm sure it's going to be a big one at award season.
Cool.
Also coming out this week, we have The Disaster Artist.
Oh, yeah.
By director and co-star James Franco.
Yeah, he plays Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah. I be honest with you, I was out of the loop on this movie. I just saw the trailer before we started today.
Which movie? The Room, which The Disaster Artist is based on, or you're out of the loop on The Disaster Artist.
I was out of the loop on The Disaster Artist, and I'm out of the loop on The Room. So
fill
me in on that real quick, because it's kind of a movie about a movie,
so,
right?
Yeah, so The Room is a historically bad film that was created a little over a decade ago by this eccentric person, Tommy Wiseau. He's the director and star of the original. The movie is notorious because it is absolutely terrible.
It's terrible, yeah.
But the fascinating part is that this Tommy Wiseau guy is a complete and utter mystery. And nobody knows how he got his money, how he was able to fund the movie or anything. And to this day, he still travels around with the film for every screening, so you get a chance to meet him.
Huh.
The screenings for The Room are getting to the point of... the best thing I could compare it to is like Rocky Horror. When you find out it's playing in your town, you go. Most of the people there have seen it multiple times. They know the lines. They know what's coming, all the in-jokes, all that stuff. So The Disaster Artist is James Franco plays Tommy Wiseau, and it's based on a book that was written by another cast member from the original film. So it's a little meta.
Yeah,
I think it's going to have
a lot meta.
I think another good movie comparison might be Tim Burton's Ed Wood movie, which gave you a view of what the process of making bad Ed Wood films was like.
Gotcha. Well, it's got an all-star cast, Eliza Coop, Alison Brie, I'll watch her do anything, Lizzie Kaplan, Zoe Dutch, and then, like, way down on the list, Zac Efron, Seth Rogen, and Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, I feel
also
like all of the
there.
Friends of James Franco.
For sure, right? And then also we have Wonder Wheel coming out, that's a Woody Allen movie, and it stars Jim Belushi, of all people.
Oh. And Kate Winslet.
I'm
pretty sure.
Kate Winslet.
And I don't think Belushi's getting top billing over Kate Winslet.
Oh, I have to go back to this because I'm not sure why I have the wrong information here. But no kidding, I think he, according to
IMDb
anyway, he is getting, starring Jim Belushi, Juno Temple, Justin Timberlake, and Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet's fourth on that list?
Yeah, yeah.
She's on the poster.
What? Yeah, Jim Belushi. Yeah.
All right. Oh,
playing Humpty, by the way.
Yeah, good for him, I guess.
All right, so that's what we got. New totally, right? Good for Jim Belushi. I guess, you know what? I got no problem with Jim Belushi. He's fine. I love this new song. I think it sounds great.
If you don't know who this is by now, it's obviously U2, the unmistakable tones of Bono singing, the unmistakable bass tone that is, it's really kind of been at the forefront of most U2 albums over the last the last couple of them, I would say, are very bass heavy. This is Songs of Experience. It's the 14th studio album. This is great. Earlier this week, it somehow already made it onto the number 3 on Rolling Stone's Best of the Year list, even though it doesn't come out till December 1st. This is
the Rolling Stone. I'm sure they get in a Beans Cappy or something like that.
If you remember
that.
The last record that they put out, it was a similar deal where I think it was like the editor of Rolling Stone went to bat personally for U2 to have that album included up there. Just seems par for the course when you're a huge PR machine like U2 to get the top spot in an album that isn't even out yet.
But this album is not going to mysteriously appear on your phone or or anywhere like that.
I almost feel like, so the last album was called Songs of Innocence and it appeared on everyone's iTunes and phone. This album's called Songs of Experience. I'd like to think that's a tongue-in-cheek reference to, like, we learned our lesson.
No doubt.
We're not just going to give people free stuff. We get it.
Nice.
Let's see, what else do we have this week? Bunch of stuff. Let's see, Neil Young and The Promise of the Real, new album called The Visitor. That is the side band that, this is their second record now. Promise of the Real is Willie Nelson's son, Luke Nelson. And of course, it's an album loaded with political commentary. I think some of the lyrics are directly lifted from Trump speeches to give you an idea of where they're going with that record. Chris Stapleton. New album called From a Room Volume 2, and I can't believe this is only his third record. I feel like I've heard his name, and I feel like he's just one of those, been around.
He's one of those guys who got the really early record store hype, and he had like a pretty big song, but I still don't fully get Chris Stapleton. He's fine. He's good. I mean, he's good, but the big hype and everybody's like, oh, you're going to see Chris Stapleton. It's like, all right. You know, he does some stuff.
I will say he's one of the few modern country stars that actually looks like he plays country music.
Yes. Very true. Very true.
I had to double check this because I couldn't believe it.
Right?
A new Van Morrison record. It's called Versatile. It's his second record of the year. The last one just came out in September. The reason for that is it's also dominated by covers, but it's still his 38th record.
He's one of the most prolific performers out there. Songwriter, performer, just really amazing.
Totally.
Still putting it out like that.
We also have a new record from death metal legends Morbid Angel. It's called Kingdoms Disdained. This is their first new record in 6 years after their last record got notoriously bad reviews all across the board. So there's a lot riding on this one for them.
All right. Now talk about unmistakable sounds.
Yeah.
Happy 40th birthday to this version of the song. David Bowie, Bing Crosby famously got together back in 1977. This was for Bing Crosby's TV special. What was it called? Merry Old Christmas.
Okay, sure.
Sounds right. David Bowie, 30 years old at the time. Bing, 73. They walked in there. I was reading the article about the meeting and how Bing Crosby was not super on board with it and not
doesn't surprise
super exciting. And that they when they arrived, it was Bowie and his wife, and they came in. They were both wearing full length mink coats, but that they were apparently one of his kids. Bing's kids was excited that. They were excited that Bowie was there.
Yeah, of course.
But they were also happy that his hair was normal colored and that he ditched his earring. And they think that that was part of the deal. I know, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. You couldn't see it, but I just rolled my eyes so hard. I think it just shot Rob across the room.
It did. I think you might have sprayed one of your sockets there. But, you know, so kind of interesting sign of the times. But this one has really... you know, MTV brought it back to life big time.
Yeah, because it is a very, like, wholesome setting, and it is surreal to see Bowie and Bing Crosby next to each other.
And it's weird, like, at the beginning of this, they actually, you know, it's like Bowie's like, oh, I like this one. My son likes it. Why don't you say we do this one? You know, and Bing's like, yeah, all right. Who the hell are you?
The best part is knowing this was 1977, so it's like right before Bowie escaped to Berlin to get clean. So I just imagine he's like coked out of his mind.
Right.
And just
hanging with Bing Crosby. which has got to be a buzz all in itself.
Yeah. So I guess that got us talking about Christmas music.
It's Christmas music. And, you know, I just want to, like, I'm going to intro this here and just say, you know, but back before, you know, there was on demand and MP3s and all that stuff, you know, you really did rely on the radio for your music. And I can't tell you how good it always felt every year to hear this for the very first time. Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh,
this meant that it was the holiday season because it would show up on rock and roll radio. You know, you weren't listening to an all Christmas station.
Right.
This would just be played like in between Stairway to Heaven and Rock and Roll All Night. You know, it was awesome. It really, you felt it. It was a great, it's just a fun song. Well done, and is probably my favorite all time Christmas song. So why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
You know what? Let me give you my top three.
Let's do it. Yeah. What you got?
I'm gonna do Run Run Rudolph, Keith Richards cover from the late 70s of Chuck Berry song.
Yeah. You know. Related to that, in the same realm, Lemmy and his rockabilly cover band from a few years ago also did a killer version of that.
It's a great tune.
Yeah,
so definitely lends
itself. Surprise, two big Chuck Berry fans giving that song a go.
Yeah. We got Santa Claus and His Old Lady by Cheech and Chong.
Oh, yeah.
A little magic dust for Santa Claus, a little magic dust for me, a little magic dust for Santa Claus, a little magic dust for me. And then Blue Christmas by Elvis.
Love that song.
You know, such a great number. And then an honorable mention to Bob and Doug McKenzie, their 12 Days of Christmas.
Nice.
And just want to point out, one of the things that they give away is six packs of 2-4. Do you know what that is?
Six packs of 2-4. No.
Did
is
not know
Canadian
what it is.
Thing?
Apparently, you in some places on Earth, you call a case of beer 2-4.
Because of?
24 beers.
Oh. See, because then in my head, I'm thinking six pack. Like a six pack.
I know. So it's like
a six pack,
pack
of 24
of
ounce
cases
beers
of beer.
Like,
yeah. But I love that part because he goes, a six pack of 2-4, and then the background singers, great gift. nice gift. Nice gift. So, yeah, that's what I got as far as my Christmas favorites go. I'm looking at our little bullet points here, and you say this is you've only got one choice.
Oh, I've only got one choice because there is only one choice.
I wish you could see what was going on in the studio.
Yeah,
Chris Mezick doing his amazing King
Diamond
over there.
Holding invisible oranges. Do the metal arms.
Invisible oranges. What's with the oranges? Is that something like that?
Well, they're invisible. When you hold your arms like this, it looks like you're holding giant oranges. There's actually a great metal music blog also named Invisible Oranges. Shout them out. That, of course, is King Diamond sticking up for the rest of us who never got presents for Christmas. No Presents for Christmas, an absolute classic from the 80s. Fantastic picture disc if you can find it in record stores. Just King Diamond and a reindeer and a Christmas tree. It's a sight to behold.
Nice. Well, not all Christmas songs are that good.
No, based on the way people react to Christmas music, you'd swear all of them are bad.
It's almost like there's a backlash happening, you know. But one of the ones that gets a lot of flack, Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time.
Ugh.
And, you know, but you said it best. I don't know if it's that terrible of a song as much as it just gets in your head and
earworm.
You can't get rid of it.
Yeah, it's by far the worst earworm of a Christmas song because everybody only knows the one part.
And by the way, in all fairness, there aren't that many other parts.
No, but holy crap, for like a 3-minute song, he sure as hell repeats that one part
Simply
like 37
heavy.
Times.
Yeah. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like fun when you're a kid, you hear it the first time, like, oh, it's hilarious, but all right. Let's...
After a while, it's kind of like, you know.
It's like, I love my grandma.
Although I do love the descriptive hoof prints on her forehead and stuff like that, you know. Elmo and Patsy.
Yeah.
And then Also, one that has gotten a lot of pub lately, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Baby, It's Cold Outside, yeah. I recommend watching the Key and Peele skit from a few years ago that doesn't do much to illustrate the lyrics of the song to point out how troublesome they are.
Right, right. And then also, along the same lines, the I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Also a weird
Christmas, holiday song. Yeah.
I hate Santa Baby, too. That one's weird. I don't know what it is about that song. It's just
I think it depends for me if I'm watching the video. I don't know if I can listen to the song, but if I'm watching the video, and depending who's singing Santa Baby, I might be on board. Yeah. Maybe not. But yeah, it is weird. Yeah. All right. Well, it is that time of year. So, Christmas music. Love it, hate it. It's going to be around for at least another month. And apparently people love it because they started Christmas music in like November this year on radio stations here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the biggest ratings time for those stations during the course of the year.
Of course. And I feel like we've come so far in our hatred for Christmas music that the only thing worth hating around Christmas time are the people who go out of their way to tell you that they hate hearing Christmas music. Early, or the people who are like, you know, I just went into a Michael's on November 1st and there's Christmas. Yeah, what do you expect?
Right.
We just got done with Halloween. Like, stop it. This happens every year. You're not funny. You're not interesting. Stop it.
They're the new pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop waging war on Christmas time.
Yeah, right. You know, I personally, you know, I love Christmas music. I'm good with it, but mixed in. I don't know if I can do a whole just pressing the button and listen to it over and over. But you know what? It's always fun. Like I said, with that Springsteen tune, whenever it all of a sudden you hear that, ding, 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 it's like very nice, very nice.
When you're out in the wild, I'm not going home and suddenly switching all my records over to Christmas music and like. I only drink hot cocoa and dreams now for the next month. Like, what the hell?
On that note, what do you say we call it a day for a new Movies and Music Thursday on the morning feed? Thanks a lot for listening. As always, check us out on our podcast channels, Google Play Music, iTunes, and Stitcher. Also, check us out on Facebook. I'm Rob LaFrance.
And I'm Chris Mezick.